Well, good afternoon. You're listening to Glenn Coble, and we're on the show called Paper Life. Dr. Feynman on the phone. Dr. Feynman, are you there?
Yes, I am.
All right. Excellent. And I hope that you listened to our show, a little bit of our show earlier. We're confused at whether a convicted felon is allowed to run for office. Do you know anything about, especially at the presidential level? Do you know anything about that?
Well, there's never been a convicted felon run for president.
No.
As far as otherwise, I think once you've paid your debt to society, I think, of course, it becomes an issue that can be used against you, but you certainly have the same rights as everybody else once you've paid your debt.
Now, we looked it up in the Ohio, revised code, and it seems to imply that no, you cannot.
Really?
Yeah, and the reason, now you cannot, there are some states, there are 11 states where you can't even vote if you're a convicted felon that we looked up. But we have a gentleman here, and you may have heard of him, Ted Williams, who was the guy that had the golden voice. He was on television. He was pulled off of I-70 about 10 years ago by somebody who heard his voice, and he was on national TV. He was on, probably the Jay Leno show several times. He had a beautiful voice. Anyway, he announced today on our radio station, very first place he announced, he's going to run for governor. And now we've had all sorts of people trying to say to us that because they thought he was a convicted felon, he cannot run for office.
Is he a convicted felon?
Well, that's what we got to find out. He may.
What was he charged with?
We don't know. We're going to find out.
Maybe drunk driving? That's not a felony.
No, my guess is because he was homeless, my guess is it has something to do with that. Could have been just vagrancy, you know. So we're going to find out, and because he's a good guy. And
may I ask, is he African-American?
No.
He's not.
Well,
okay.
Yes, I guess he is, maybe.
I think, yes.
When
you first said Ted Williams, I was thinking of the Boston Red Sox slugger.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, same name. But I think this Ted Williams, I think, is, and I have
yes.
a feeling people that are making that an issue, depends on what he's been convicted of, but I think it might be a race issue, because people want to find every excuse to take away people's rights if they're a racial minority.
Yeah, absolutely. I think if Mr. Trump had been an African American, he wouldn't have ever been in office. Anyway, all right, I got all sorts of.
I looked up Ted Williams. Yes, he is African American.
Yeah,
okay. But I got to look up while we're talking to see what I can find about. So he's a voiceover artist. Is that what he is?
He is a voiceover artist. He does several of our. And if you've been listening, and I know you do listen occasionally while right before my show starts, and occasionally you listen to our show before, you probably have heard him. As a matter of fact, if you were listening today, he was on one of the voiceover spots. So.
Yeah, I've heard him. Yes, it's very impressive voice.
He has
voice.
A nice
yes.
voice. Yeah.
Yeah, I see looking him up that he had drug and alcohol abuse. Was evicted from his house, this is in the 1990s and 80s, had misdemeanor charges for drug abuse, resulted in two jail sentences, 3 months for theft and 2 months for theft, forgery, etc. But is that considered, if it's 3 months, is that a felony? If you're only in prison? I don't know. I don't know enough about the prison system. I wonder if that means that he's a convicted felon, but I don't think that should have anything to do. He's turned his life around. That's what matters.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like if he served that short of time, maybe none of those were felonies. They were just high-level misdemeanors or something like
yes,
that.
Yes, I would think so.
Yeah.
And was it in Ohio or where is the question? I don't know.
And I think it was Ohio, but we got some pretty tight shirt guys around here. We like
it does say he was issued misdemeanor citations. That doesn't say a felony. I think he had misdemeanors that he had 3 months and then 2 months.
Oh, okay.
In 1990 and 2004.
I will bring that up to Scott. Told me, ask Dr. Feynman. He'll know the answer.
Well, not certain, but I would think he should be able to run. And I still say if he paid his debt to society and he's led a decent life, we believe in second chances, don't we?
That's what I was saying on the air. I don't know if that's the Ohio state law or whether, there are a lot of people that want to get 5 pounds of flesh for a dollar's worth of payment. So
he also served in the military for 3 years, was honorably discharged. I think that's something very definitely a positive in his favor.
Yeah. Now, he is going to run for governor, he claims, and so we will let you know. Maybe
as a Democrat or a Republican?
He's a Democrat. He's a Democrat. So.
Yeah, and he's 63 years old. I'm looking him up. Yeah. And they say he's a philanthropist also. Apparently, he's done some philanthropy.
Yeah, he's done a lot of, and one of his things that he'd like to do, he's trying to find somebody, and this is something I've been interested in, trying to find somebody who builds tiny houses so that we could build little houses for the homeless, because he was homeless for a long time.
Yes.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
And it'd be nice to have a governor who cares about people who are homeless, not just about those who are wealthy.
Yes.
It'd really be nice, you know?
It would be nice.
And always be ready to move to Ohio to vote for him.
Well, and you can easily get out of Florida, because that guy doesn't give a rat's behind.
I don't think I've ever told you this. I talked to people about our three illustrious Floridians. That is,
I know
DeSantis,
who they are.
The governor, and Scott, who was a former governor, who was a senator, and Rubio. And I make a joke, and I say, imagine they're all on the Titanic, and only one can be saved. Who would you save? They all laugh about it.
None of them. Let them go down, right?
In fact, today I went to the gym intelligence, and he said, I let them all sink.
Yeah, I think I would, too. Oh, my. Noel, no. Now, as a good, and you're a good Jewish man, and as a good atheist, I would say, as a kind atheist, I would say, no, we got to save them all.
Well, it reminds me of Ron Reagan Jr., who, of course, is an atheist.
And not afraid of burning in hell.
It's really interesting, you know.
I love that. Not afraid of burning in hell.
Yes.
Anyway, did you watch yesterday's proceedings?
Most of it, yes. I was in the car at the beginning, so I was listening to NPR, and because I was giving a lecture at 1 o'clock, so I couldn't.
That's right. Yeah.
But the point is that I had tears before I got to the place. I was so upset just from hearing it. I couldn't see it.
Oh my goodness.
You know, and I think Jamie Raskin is fantastic. He happens to be my oldest son's congressman in Maryland.
Is that right?
He's just wonderful. And you know, and I think, boy, it's just, we have such decent people, and then we have such horrendous people in government. It's just unbelievable, you know?
Yeah, Raskin, and I don't think he was doing that for effect.
Oh, no.
I think he was sincere as the day is long. And, you know, some people were talking, and I'm not sure if this is true, but some people, especially on the Republican talk side, or Democratic talk side, they were saying that the Republicans were not looking up. They were looking down and doing stuff on their phone and stuff like that to avoid. And I don't know if that's true or not, but
I'm pretty sure it is true.
I hope not.
I hope not, but
that would break my heart if...
Fine, but I think a lot of them don't give a damn. They don't care. All they care about is their own careers, and they don't care about anybody else. They're very self-centered.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but there are people like that. And there are a lot of people, like I heard what you were saying about how people treat each other every day. In the last half hour, and I'm saying, boy, you and I really are twins, because we have the same way of looking at people, that you treat people with kindness and decency and respect. And even if somebody seems to be not so, like, on your level, like, you don't look down on them because they're less educated or because of this or that.
Right. Yeah.
You know, you have to treat people with dignity. And yet all these, quote, religious, end quote, people, many of them are hypocrites. You're no hypocrite because you don't believe a lot of that stuff, which is just talk. It's not action.
Yeah, now Scott and I both know some people that...
Listen to that.
If they open their mouth, you're not sure if anything's coming out that's sincere.
Yes.
And that's okay. And I think both Scott and I agree, it's okay. We just don't want to be their friends. That's all. Just
that's right.
Go away and leave me alone.
And I think after 10 minutes watching someone, even if you haven't met them on TV, you know, like politicians or others, or someone you meet, you can get a sense of what a person's really like. And usually I've been correct.
Yeah.
You know, people I've met or people I watch. And some politicians you just cannot tolerate. You know, I cannot see how anybody would vote for them, you know?
Yeah. And
they do get people voting, so.
That is a question. Why, after everything that was on the video yesterday, how in the world can people not think that, how can they allow not. I mean, it, excuse me. I'm just dumbfounded.
That's right.
I have no idea how
they have no ethics or morals. That's what it comes down to. It's all about just advancing their own careers.
I guess that's what.
And that's why some people, and I know some people listening won't like it. I don't understand how anybody loves Rand Paul or Ted Cruz. Just as two examples, they're just despicable in my mind. I cannot see how anybody likes either of them. And it's not just one thing they've done. You look over the whole career, the way they've led their life and the way they've been in public life. It's disgraceful, I think. You know.
You must have had a wonderful mother, because your mother must have been a lot like my mother.
She was. I'm sure she was. And I've tried to have that effect on my kids, and I think I've definitely had the effect. And my oldest son, David, is very proud of his congressman, Jamie Raskin.
Yeah, and right, and he should be.
Yes.
Not just because of yesterday, that speech yesterday, I don't know how anybody could have kept a tear out of their eye, but...
I had tears, but I get tears easily.
You and I are that way. But
softies.
I never let my wife look at me when I'm watching something that might tear me up.
Well, just like Adam Schiff, who led the first impeachment committee.
Right.
I think Adam Schiff is fantastic. Yeah, I think he's a great man. And yet we know that, of course, Trump was calling him Adam Schiff, you know.
Is that right?
And it just annoyed me no end. But I'm thinking, how can people not see that Adam Schiff is decent, you know, and also James, and not just them, but it's the leaders of the two impeachment committees. They're just fantastic human beings, you know?
This is kind of off, it's sort of along the same line. One of the questions that I wrote down that I wanted to talk to you about was, why have our Republican friends, and I'm sure you have Republican friends like I do, why have our Republican friends aligned themselves with these militants and these ignorant people? What have we done that we could have done better to make them see there is no reason in the world why somebody should be poking somebody's eye out with the end of an American flag? You know, what did we do wrong?
I think it's probably upbringing that people have.
You
know, you think you know them, and that's why you don't always know for 10 minutes, but you think you know somebody, they're nice to you, but they could be very nasty to others. And in my mind, if you're nasty to somebody and I see it, I don't want you to be my friend, even if I thought you were good to me, because you have to, as they say, be nice to the people that are not famous, that are not well-to-do, that are not powerful. And to me, you have to treat a waiter or have to treat a maid or anybody else with the same respect as anyone who's powerful.
Well, one of the things they were saying about Senator Raskin is that...
Congressman Raskin.
I
wish he was Senator, actually.
Congressman Raskin. One of the things that people said about him is that he knew the name of the elevator operators in the Capitol. He knew the name of people that were the at the lower level.
Yes.
You know, the workers like you and me.
Do you know who else knows everybody? Joe Biden.
Yes.
He was in Capitol Hill. He knows everybody.
Yeah, now I've heard that he knows really everybody.
He really knows. He knows your name. He knows a lot about you.
Yeah.
That's why I say he's not perfect. I keep on having to say that because people say he's not perfect. So he's not perfect. So far, I haven't seen anything that's not perfect. I think he's been wonderful for 3 weeks. Of course, he's not going to be having everything go right. But right now, even the level of vaccinations is above 1 million a day.
Yeah.
You said 1 million in, for 100 days. It's, I think, 1.2 million. So he's already ahead of himself. And to me, the man is just the word decency comes in right away.
That's easy for you to say. You've gotten your shot. Mine's still... I haven't gotten mine yet.
Well, actually, I wanted to mention next week on Wednesday, I'm getting my second shot.
Oh, good.
Supposedly at 10:14 Eastern Time.
Okay.
And last time it was on time. But in theory, I just wanted to let you know I might... I'm sure I will be back
late. Okay.
But there's a chance I would not be. I'm just saying. A slight chance.
And you're not allowed to come on the air if you're thrown up.
Well, I hope I threw all right after. I felt fine after the first shot.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, there is a chance, but hopefully not, because it is 2 hours, and it was right on time last time, but it's just, I'm thinking, oh my gosh, what if I can't? So I might come in a little later than 12:15 if I'm not back at the house, all right?
No problem at all.
I'm just saying possible, but probably not
going
to be a problem. But I always believe in telling the whole story, you know?
Sure. Now, that first question I was asking you about, I've done a little bit of a study on people that tend to be more conservative, and they also tend to be more militant. They're more black and white people that are conservative.
Yes.
And I'm not sure that that's good or bad, and I think we need both. I think we need people that watch the dimes as well as people that care for their fellow man. I think we need both sides of that,
yeah.
that story. But right now, it just seems to me that there are an awful lot of people on the militant side that really don't care about other people and about, you know, about our government, for that matter.
No, they have no conscience. That's what I would say. Yeah. But, of course, they would deny it. But, you know, to me, these are people who think about their viewpoint, but they don't understand the viewpoint of, say, Black Lives Matter, about the victimization of African-Americans and Native Americans and Latinos, and they don't really care about it. And it's clear they don't, so they spread rumors about the Black Lives Matter and Antifa, which is not a dangerous group. It's anti-fascist, which is anti-the kind of right-wing stuff. But they make it out as if these people are dangerous, and they're not dangerous. They're simply asking for equality, for fairness of treatment.
Now, I have a sign in my front yard. It's a Black Lives Matter sign, and I'm going to leave it up until it falls apart. But
somebody burns your house down.
Yeah, or somebody burns the house and the sign down.
God. Hopefully, I'm just joking. Hopefully, you're not going to have anybody really get nasty, but you never know.
Well, I had my Biden flag flying every day until inaugurated. Yeah, and nobody tried to tear it down or anything. So yeah,
I assume you know your neighbors and they're decent people, right?
Yeah, and yeah. I have a Trump neighbor that's two houses down from me, but I wasn't afraid of this person. This person is just a good person, good country folk, and she just disagreed with me on that. But
well, disagree agreeably is the issue. Yeah,
yeah, that's the key right there. Now, and
yeah.
I think right now, we have to learn how to do that again, and we're going to
polarization. Yeah, that's a big problem. Yeah, actually, I told my students in my presidency classes, this is the most tumultuous time since the 1850s before the Civil War, because it was total polarization, and that's what's happening now. And it's worse than the 1960s, which seemed that way, but did not reach the level that this did. The thing in the 60s, we had George Wallace came along,
right.
And he was horrifying, but he only could win a few states. We knew he couldn't go all the way, but now we have George Wallace up in from New York City, meaning Donald Trump,
yeah.
And he's the danger because he actually made the White House and really did harm for 4 years.
Now, you brought up back when Lincoln was running, and,
yes.
And how we were very divided then, but we were divided geographically. I have next
yes.
door neighbors that disagree with me on running for who's running for president.
Well, I have to say, during the Civil War in New York City, there were a lot of people who were saying, "Let the Confederate States leave. We don't want a war."
Were there? Okay.
There were copperheads, they were called, including one from Ohio, a congressman from Ohio with a really weird name, Clement Vallandigham. V is in victory, Vallandigham. Clement Vallandigham. Or a copperhead, and he was actually jailed for a while by orders of Lincoln because of his opposition to the war effort, and that's one of the issues about Lincoln, about civil liberties violations, plus shutting down newspapers for periods of time because they were giving information to the enemy. You know, so there were copperheads, like the mayor of New York City, Fernando Wood, was a copperhead. He was saying, you know, as far as he's concerned, let the South leave. We should not be fighting a war and have all these people killed. So there were anti-war activists
well,
in the North.
What happened to the First Amendment in that situation? Didn't he have rights to say
you know, every president would be accused of breaking the First Amendment at times. Wilson certainly did. FDR, of course, allowed for the imprisonment of Japanese Americans. These are all things I bring up because the argument is in wartime, sometimes you have to take away certain freedoms, although it's debated. But, I mean, often it's seen as standing in the way of progress against the enemy.
Well, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of talk right now that that people's freedom of speech is being curtailed because, you know, the president had freedom of speech to ignite that crowd that was there on the 6th. Now, I'm not sure whether, you know, Did he ignite them?
Absolutely. I don't see anybody could see anything else.
Okay.
They're presenting it as we're talking. They were showing a statement made by him in December, you know, on Twitter. And, of course, I'm not watching it now. But they're going to show 16 hours. They're going to show a lot of video. Maybe they're showing it now. I don't know. But, you know, which is new stuff, which is going to be much more shocking right. than what we've already seen. So, I mean, the President of the United States has to watch what he says. It's not just like an average person saying something, because he gets followers, whoever he is, a president gets followers who will take him as literal, and therefore he has to have responsibility for what he says and has to be held accountable, as I see it.
So the First Amendment does not apply to presidents.
No, it means you have to be careful what you say. You don't have the right to shout fire in a crowded theater when right. there isn't a fire, which is the 1919 case in the Supreme Court. There's no absolute freedom of speech.
Now, if there is a fire in that theater, you can shout it, though, right?
Oh, of course.
Okay. And we had some fires going.
Oliver Wendell Holmes, the famous justice, is the one who came up with that doctrine.
Is that right?
Of clear and present danger. What you say presents a clear and present danger to others, you can be prosecuted. And that's what I think is the case here. I'll see whether they say that, but that's why I think they can say he incited that group. And then he didn't do anything to react to it until about 4 hours later, and Mike Pence had to call in the National Guard.
Yeah, now, on what authority was he allowed to do that?
Well, because the president wasn't taking action, so he was acting as an acting president.
Yeah.
And by the way, a thought has crossed my mind, and I haven't heard anybody say, maybe I've just missed it, why doesn't Mike Pence, who was being threatened, he could have been killed, why doesn't he, now that he's retired, come out and make a public statement denouncing Trump and saying he should be convicted? It might have an effect on enough Republican senators, in theory, to get him convicted. But, you know, I've said this to a couple of people, say, nah, he has no cojones. I won't say what that means in English, but you can figure it out, that he's not going to speak out because he wants to run for president. But I said, but he's not going to be president anyway. He needs to speak out because he himself was being threatened.
Yeah.
I don't know why he hasn't.
Well, his wife told him he couldn't.
And his wife also, by the way, hated Trump. She didn't even want him to be vice president under Trump. So why doesn't she push him? Mike, you got to do this.
Is that right? She didn't like Trump?
I have read that when they won, she said, good luck to you, and she was annoyed because she didn't want him to be vice president. She thought Trump was going to lose. She doesn't like Trump because of his immorality. You know, she, whether you like her, she's a good Christian, in quotes. I don't like that term. Yeah, but the fact is that she does have a certain ethical moral sense, and so does he, and yet he worked under Trump. But now is the time for him to say, this man needs to be prevented from running again. And if it affects his own future, I don't think he's going to be running for president going anywhere anyway, because Trump people don't like him because he was not doing what they wanted. So I think he needs to show that he has a profile and courage, Mike Pence, and speak out clearly against Donald Trump. Wouldn't that be something?
It would be a surprise, that's for sure.
Yes.
Now, going along that same line, who do you think really will be a serious candidate for Republican president?
As far as who I would think would be, or who I think will be?
Well,
No,
who do you think is going to do it?
Well, there's going to be a destruction. It could be a split in the Republican Party. There'll be the Trump wing, and there'll be the basic conservative wing. And the conservative wing could be Mitt Romney, and you might say, wait, he didn't in 2012. He's only going to be, get this, he's only going to be in 2024, 77. He'll be younger than Joe Biden is now. So he could, after 12 years, come back. I'm not going to vote for him, but Mitt Romney would be a mainstream conservative candidate. So would Ben Sasse of Nebraska, who I think is actually quite impressive, and he has a PhD in history, was a college president, and he's really intelligent. I don't necessarily agree with him, but he also has been condemnatory. Also, Adam Kinzinger, that Illinois House member that's been very outspoken and is trying to work against the Trump influence in the party. And it could be a congressman could run like Adam Kinzinger. So I think people like that would be the best bets at this point. And also Larry Hogan, the governor of Maryland, is also another one. And, you know, and my son lives in Maryland. He didn't vote for Hogan, but he says Hogan's really done a good job. So I think that's for mainstream people. But then, of course, we're going to have Josh Hawley is obviously going to run. He's disgraceful, and he should be in prison for treason. Same with Ted Cruz, because they really provoked what happened. But I think they will. Rand Paul, oh, God, I'm almost like vomiting thinking of Rand Paul. But I think he will. And Marco Rubio will want to run again. And so will Rick Scott and probably Ron DeSantis, all three Floridians. Can you believe this?
So we'll have a full stage like we did last time.
And also, yes, and also a woman who I thought once was decent in the comparative sense and have lost all faith in her, Nikki Haley. Oh, I'm so disgusted with her. She's just gone to the Trump side completely, you know.
Seems to.
But she could also be possible.
All right. Now, along the same lines of who's going to be running for, there seem to be a lot of Republicans dropping out of the GOP, including the Lincoln Project people.
Yes.
Do you feel that there are really a lot of them, or is it just a select few?
Well, there's also ordinary citizens who have given up their Republican registration. Yeah, I've read that, you know, 10,000 in this state, 8,000 in that state in a short time. So I think a lot of them are becoming independent. I think independents have always mattered, but I think it's not that necessarily they're going to be Democrats, but I think they're open to, you know, if they don't get a Republican candidate that is in their camp, they might actually go to the Democrats. I think the Democrats will be strengthened by the Republicans imploding, which I think is going on.
What do you feel about the more left-leaning side of the Democratic Party, like AOC and, you know,
I hope she doesn't challenge Chuck Schumer for the Senate seat in New York because he's the majority leader. He's been moving a little more to the left to try to prevent that. I mean, she has a right to her views, but that is not the way of the party. It has to stay moderate left, you know, which I think Joe Biden is a capital P progressive right now. Some people say he sounds like he's going to move toward another New Deal, and, you know, yet he has that moderate image, and, you know, and he comes across so well every day when he makes his speech or whatever. He's wonderful. He's totally alert, totally making sense, totally doing good things. I mean, I think we're very fortunate to have Joe Biden. He's really the right person at the right time.
I agree with you there, especially as a Democrat. I agree with you there. And I told you, I predicted that he and Kamala would be their top of the ticket 2 years ago, 2.5 years ago.
Yeah, I have to tell you something about Kamala. I went to the foot doctor yesterday, and he had voted for Trump twice, and I just made up my mind I'm not going to make it an issue because everybody has a right to their view. You know. But anyway, so we're talking, and I just made the comment that Joe's done a great show. He says, yes, he has. He actually said, yes, he has. He's a nice guy. But then he asked me, and I didn't answer the way I really wanted to. He said, but aren't you concerned that Biden's being manipulated by Harris? So in my head I was saying, are you a bigot? Is it because she's a mixed-race woman? I mean, what is this? I didn't say that. What I should have said, I just let it go. I should have said, Dr. Jill Biden wouldn't let her manipulate her husband. That's a fact. She wouldn't. So I'm sure if it was a man or a white woman, he wouldn't be saying that. But this is the kind of stuff people say. They're afraid of Harris. I don't know what there is to be afraid of. I don't get it.
I don't either. I think, and we talked about that on our first hour of our show this morning, how there is, you know, a lot of ignorance and a lot of people don't like somebody else having something that they don't have or having control that they don't have. I don't know. We had a good talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I wasn't able to because I was out this morning about 11:30. But I must say that Harris, when you look at the background, she was not easy on crime in California. She's not a really left-wing person like people say. She's to the left a little bit, but she's not extreme or dangerous. And I don't know what it is why people keep on thinking that she's running the show. She's not running the show. And, of course, if Biden can't do the job or, God forbid, something happens to him, she'll take over and she'll be fine.
I'll be happy with that, yeah.
Yeah, but Dr. Biden, believe me, she's protecting her husband like any good wife would, and I'm sure if there was any conflict, it would be dealt with because, you know, I see Harris as playing the role perfectly as vice president.
Yeah, I think she's doing a great job. So,
and she's great to look at, and I love her laugh.
I love her laugh, too, yeah, even through the mask. speaking of Kamala, as our first Black, or at least
Black and Asian,
whatever.
Yeah.
Yes,
from India. Yep,
Vice President, and we had Obama as our first African American,
half white,
yeah, half white American president. This is Black History Month, what can you talk to me about the time back before Jim Crow in the Reconstruction? there were an awful lot of, especially in the South, a lot of African-American people that were elected to office.
Well, yes.
How did that happen?
Because of Union Army occupation in the South, we did have black congressmen elected in the 10 years of Reconstruction. And senators, of course, were not voted on by the people, voted by the state legislatures.
Right.
We had two African-American senators, one for 6 years, one term, Blanche Bruce, and one for 1 year of an unexpired term, you know, with 1 year left, Hiram Revels, who actually was the first black person ever to be in the Senate, but then Blanche Bruce was there for one full term. And actually, the record shows those two, and I think it was 15 House members, you know, from the southern states in that period who were elected by popular vote, but don't forget there was Union Army occupation, so not everybody could vote. But they all did well. There was no such thing that they took advantage of the fact that they were in power. They did not get involved in corruption, because there's been research done on all these people over the years. And, you know, and all the accusations about, oh my God, it was a nightmare period. It was actually a period of reform in the South. I talk about how during Reconstruction, the South advanced not just for African Americans, but for poor whites who've been exploited by wealthy whites all along the plantation owners. And you know, and they actually got advancements. But then after 1857, when Hayes won and deal was struck because he hadn't won the popular vote, he ended Reconstruction, and that started Jim Crow.
Yeah. Now, that was, we had one of our, one of the guys that comes on, he's our Marion Historical Society gentleman, and he talked about that compromise.
Compromise of 1870.
Yeah, and it really was
African-Americans to the white South. And they started to take away the 15th Amendment, the right to vote for black men, and the 14th Amendment, and the Klan developed, and lynching started. And, you know, even years ago when I studied and read and learned about lynchings and started to teach about it, I thought of it in a broad way, and then I really realized that I started to look further and discovered it wasn't just a small number, it was thousands of lynchings. Thousands.
And they weren't all just black people.
But also Jews and Italians,
There
were cases like that. But, I mean, it wasn't just like you used to think lynching meant, oh, so you hang somebody, you know, on a rope, and it's horrible, of course. No, it wasn't that, quote, simple. They first set them on fire, they tortured, they cut off their sex organs or their fingers. I mean, it was more than just quickly kill somebody. It was really like Nazi Germany kind of stuff. It really was, you know.
And they beat them.
And they had crowds gather, including kids to watch this.
Kids to watch, yeah. And,
I mean, it's much worse than I originally thought. And then you see the photographs. A lot of photographs we have of this that have been uncovered. And there's a couple of lynching museums around the country. And
yes,
I realized over the years, from years ago, it's not just hanging somebody. That's almost not so good. Not saying it's good, but that's almost too simple and quick. It's rather to torture people and kill them over a long period of time, and people justifying this. It's unbelievable.
Justifying it quite often in the name of Jesus Christ.
Yes, which is what really infuriates me about organized religion, you know, when people use religion to throw their weight around, and not just Christians, even Jews or Muslims. Thing, you know?
Absolutely. Yep. Religion, in my opinion, has been used throughout the ages to control people that you can't control any other way. So
yes, and there is a saying by Karl Marx, not Groucho. So right away people say, oh, Karl Marx, communism.
Yeah, you're
Karl Marx did say, however, that religion, I'm not saying I like Karl Marx, but he did say religion is the opiate of the masses.
Of the masses, of course.
It is.
Yeah, and that's why I say usually on any of my shows that I do here on the station, we have to increase our education, our own education. We have to study
about religion and about race and about gender, all these things.
Yeah, we certainly do. Now, I mentioned actually on our show today, I kind of offhandedly criticized the book of Leviticus being used by the our religious friends to downplay or kind of castigate our gay friends.
Well, you know, that whole thing with, you know, as far as gays, the thought that there are gay kids or adults, but, you know, who are being abandoned by their parents, who say they're good Jews or good Christians or good Muslims, that is not being good. You don't abandon your kids. You accept them as they are. You don't try to forcibly change them as, unfortunately, Mike Pence promoted conversion years ago. That's one reason I really do not like Mike Pence, he and his wife, because they're very narrow-minded. But again, Mike Pence should speak out against Trump, but I guess he won't. But yeah, I agree. The issue of sexuality is really something that has destroyed so many families that it should not be doing that.
Well, the book of Leviticus is studied by your people as well as my people.
Yes.
It's in the Torah, I believe.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. How do you think that President Biden is doing with our COVID-19 relief plan? It's a ton of money. It's no higher. As a matter of fact, it's a little less than what we gave all of our rich corporation buddies in taxes under Trump. How soon?
I see all the Republicans love the tax cut under Trump and also under Bush too, and also Reagan. But if you have to help ordinary people, they don't want, you know, that's why they only came up with $600 million, I think, instead of $1.9 million, and that's even including Mitt Romney and people like that. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm sorry, that's not acceptable. We need to go bold, and I'm glad that he's pushing for it. And now they're, you know, talking about Biden, and now it seems as if the thought is it might actually pass before the end of the month. And
yeah,
it should be quick. No need to drag this out, you know. People need help, and whatever needs to be done needs to be done, and that's all there is to it. And if people don't like it, tough, you know.
Now, do you believe, as I do, and I will mention that up front, do you believe that if you give money to poor people, it will get right back into the system?
Well, you got to spend it.
Yeah, you got to spend
the bills,
it.
Or buy food, or pay the rent, or whatever, of course.
I'm a little concerned that $2,000, which is what they will eventually
well,
get
out of $1,400 plus, yeah, the $600 before, right. $1,400 more, though, now.
But yeah. I'm convinced that there are people like in New York and in Los Angeles that's not even some of their one-month rent.
Well, honestly, I think there's going to be another round later in the year. I don't think it's going to be just this. I think it'll have to be done again.
Okay.
I really think so. Don't you think that?
I would hope that, but, you know, I'm a fiscal conservative, and I'm a little concerned about spending our way out of this.
There's really no alternative.
Can we do it? I'm sorry? Yeah.
There's no alternative, though, that I can see. I agree. There is a problem, but actually, most of the deficit that has developed over the years is due to war spending, not social spending. It's a fact.
We spend more in our defense budget than the next 45 countries combined.
Yes, so we don't worry about that. But if you try to help people, the feeling is, you know, let them starve, let them be on the street, and there is a lot of this. And to me, if you're a religious person, in quotes, you don't want that to happen.
Yeah. Well, Marie,
that's why it's hypocrisy.
Marie Antoinette says, let them eat cake.
Yes.
And you know what happened to her?
Yes. Well, talking about that, it's interesting that Trump had trouble finding lawyers because he didn't want to pay them.
Yes.
Now I think he might think twice of paying the lawyer that messed up yesterday. And, you know, it's going to be an embarrassment. His defense is horrific at this point.
Well, you know he's not going to pay him. I mean, that's almost his M.O.,
And you really wonder, where did he get these lawyers from? Apparently they're not very competent, it doesn't seem.
I felt sorry for them. I really did. I watched the whole thing, and as it was going along, I called into my wife, and I said, these guys are really doing a poor job, and they're going to get hammered. And they did.
Well, you know, something would be nice if all three lawyers announced they're resigning and he has no legal defense.
That would be interesting. Well,
the man doesn't deserve a legal defense. He's a disgrace.
One of the things that one of the lawyers did say is that he hadn't been allowed to get a legal defense. Well, that's not it. He said he didn't want the people that were, you know, his defense. And then there were several of his defense people that said, we're not going to work for him any longer because he hadn't paid us, you know. So, and then he said, He's not going to honor a subpoena to come in and testify. Well, if you don't stand up for yourself, nobody else is going to, I guess.
Yes.
And you shouldn't blame it on the other guy because he will be allowed to come in and testify if he so desires.
I wish he would. It would be some show to see, you know.
I'd love to see Kamala cross,
but she couldn't do that.
No, you know, I know she couldn't, but I'd like to see.
And neither could the president pro tempore, who is, of course, the, you know, who is Patrick Leahy, who who is presiding over this, and is also a juror. That's a little weird thing.
That
he's a juror, but he's also presiding. But just there to make sure everything is seen as fair.
And that was one of the points that one of the lawyers for the president brought up. And I thought they had probably a pretty decent point there. Why did they make one of the jurors also the judge?
But because the Chief Justice didn't want to take the case on.
Right.
But the point is, McConnell could have started this trial while Trump is still in the White House.
Right.
His delay now makes it an issue. Well, he's not in office, but he could have been put on trial before the 20th of January. So it's really crazy. They don't want to have a trial, but they could have had a trial in time started if they had done it when he was still president.
I don't think the Democrats pushed it, but they asked for it. I don't think they were insistent. But
well, also because McConnell held control for the first month.
Of course.
It's only in the last week or so that the Democrats really controlled the Senate, and that's why you know, we have Merrick Garland first coming up for Attorney General, I think, in 2 weeks from now.
Right.
Why is there no Attorney General by this time? Why isn't everything settled? So the Republicans really go to the extremes, and the Democrats still, I guess, are just not tough enough, or they don't know how to deal with it. So that's why they got to use all their ammunition, not care what Republicans think.
With Garland, Merrick Garland,
yes.
Is it something he said to the former president that's gotten him in? I mean, nobody else is being held off that long, are they?
I'm not sure. I think there might be one or two positions, but Attorney General should have been one of the first.
Yeah.
Because he can't do anything until he gets in, but I think he's going to start some interesting cases once he gets in, but I think they're trying to to delay it.
Would he have the title of acting Attorney General right now?
I don't think that would be correct. I don't even know who the acting Attorney General is. I'd have to look it up. I'm not sure who it is, but it really should not be taking almost a month or more for people to be confirmed, but
right.
They've been very slow. The Republicans have played every dirty trick they can to get things their way, even when they don't even have control. It's just amazing, you know?
Right. It's
ethics is just unbelievable, lack of ethics.
Well, we do have an ethics committee, don't we?
Yes, we do.
They just don't work, I guess. Oh, my. Well, I must say, I totally enjoyed listening. I listened to the whole thing yesterday. My wife was angry with me. I wasn't doing any of my housework, and I didn't walk on my treadmill, which it's a hard and fast rule that I have to walk every day on my treadmill, but yesterday I just didn't. I watched that entire thing, and I was shocked at how totally the guy, senator from Colorado, and I can't remember his name. He's an African American gentleman. He was almost as good as the guy from Maryland?
The congressman, you mean?
I'm sorry. Get those mixed up.
Well, I think the whole committee, they're brilliant attorneys. These people, just like the last committee, they're really very smart people, you know, they really are. But a lot of Republicans just sit there and they look bored and they don't really care. They're not paying attention. I wish there was a way to focus in on these people where citizens could see how they're behaving while this is going on, you know?
Now, I found it interesting because I guess it's punishable by death or something. You're not allowed to disrupt anything that goes on during those during the impeachment trial. That's correct, isn't it?
Well, I don't know if it literally means that's severe, but they're basically saying you have to be in order. So
yeah.
Some of them were not paying attention, and you know they were ignoring, and I think this should, I don't know how you can really enforce with 100 people, but they really should be expected to be like in a class paying attention.
Yeah, should be, yeah. Matter of
but
fact,
of course, not all students pay attention either.
Well, the only way I could get through college is by paying attention, because I sure didn't read the books.
You're confessing it now?
Oh, yeah. I've told my wife and my mother and father. Actually, I told my father a long time ago that I never read a book that was.
And I bet your wife said, I've always known that.
I think I've told you I have a little bit of dyslexia, and I just if I start to read a book, I fall asleep. It's just my natural way of doing things.
So, I imagine your wife probably made some kind of sarcastic comment like I just said, huh?
Oh, yeah.
Nothing surprising, probably, huh?
She gives me, my wife very rarely says anything sarcastic. She gives me sarcastic looks.
Oh, looks instead.
Like, you're an idiot.
You have any photographs of that?
Oh, man. me. Well, hey, we're down to the last minute and a half.
Oh, boy.
Tell me what we need to consider that we haven't considered.
Well, I think by next Wednesday, hopefully I'll be on. I'm almost certainly. I'm just saying there's a chance I wouldn't be, or it might come in late, but probably not.
No problem.
I would just say I think it'll probably be done by next week, and actually it might be done on President's Day on Monday
in my vote.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That would be quite ironic, actually. And it would be nice if 13 people, well, 17 people, with 6 plus, 11 more, shocked us, like Bill Cassidy of Louisiana. Wouldn't it be great if
somebody
had 17 listen and decide to do it? Or Mike Pence speak up, but I don't think it's going to happen.
It sounds like that's a really tough road to hoe, and I don't think it's going to happen.
You can pray, but even if you're not religious.
My prayers don't do any good.
I think so, yeah. Anyway, thanks so much again.
All right, well, you have a good day, and we'll talk to you next Wednesday, and hopefully the creek don't rise.
All right, thanks so much.
Take care. Bye-bye, Dr.
Bye-bye.
All right, very good. We had a nice discussion there with Dr. Feynman, and I called him Feldman. That's not right. Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.